Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. As many of you may know, I've been practicing law here in Mendocino County for 35 years. Recently, I've realized that Measure A, which is on the ballot, is, in my opinion, the most significant issue that we have had an opportunity to vote on in the past 35 years. Many of you may have already received your ballot in the mail, since 70% of us vote by absentee ballot. My longtime and good friend Ron Arkin and I often discuss political issues, local and national. We were talking about Measure A recently, and it dawned on me that I'd like to record a conversation with Ron about Measure A and the consequences of what would happen to our county if it passes. Please remember that the ideas that I express on this program are mine, and not necessarily those of this radio station, its management, or board of directors.
Barry, welcome to your own show.
Well, thanks, Ron. I'm pleased to be able to talk about something that's extremely important to me that I'm very concerned about. In the years I've been practicing law in Mendocino County, I believe that this issue about Measure A is the single most important issue that's been on the ballot here.
Let's start with when you first became aware of DDR, interested in the Masonite property, and give us what you would view as a history from that point up until Measure A became the current issue.
Well, in retrospect, I think I became aware, several years ago. I don't really remember the time, but looking at the current status and all the different opinions, it's important to recognize that one of the lead attorneys of the group that represents DDR, that's Diversified Developers Realty, is an attorney whose last name is Merksamer, who was the chief of staff for George Dukmejian when Dukmejian was governor of California. And the reason I feel that's important is because someone at that level of state government is quite aware of what's going on throughout the state. So what was going on here in Mendocino County when Dukmejian was governor? The timber industry was declining and fading. The raw materials that were brought to Masonite were diminishing. And I think that they were able to foresee, as were many people, that Masonite was going to go out of business after a long and slow decline, and that property would become for sale. So then let's jump ahead a few years and look at the website of Nielsen, Merksamer, etc. They say that they are attorneys for large corporations and developers. They're specialists in election law and many other areas of law.
Where are they located?
They have an office in Marin and many other offices throughout the state, Sacramento, Los Angeles, I believe San Diego. And they have lots of people who work for them, but not just attorneys. There's a person who works for them who used to be a member of the state assembly, a Republican former assemblywoman from San Diego. So what they have at hand is access to the knowledge of how state issues work, as well as initiative and referendum issues. They say they're experts in political law and in initiative and referendum law. So why is that important? I feel that that's important in relationship to the documents that I believe they were part of when DDR filed for a general plan amendment, which would allow the zoning change to be made through the normal legislative process. So what is the normal legislative process at the county level? That's done by the supervisors based on staff reports from the county planning department, based on public input from the county planning commission, and a final decision made by the Board of Supervisors through the county general plan. And again, what's a general plan? A general plan mandated to all of the counties by the state of California determines how land in various parts of the county should be used. What should be industrial? What should be agricultural? What should be forest land? What the sizes of the parcels can be? So that we don't have a hodgepodge, an industry in a residential neighborhood, for example.
So what was the zoning when DDR bought the property?
It was and is now industrial.
And why do you think they have chosen to go the route of an initiative to address that?
I think they chose that route because of the difficulty that our elected supervisors would have realized had they chosen to go the legislative route. And I think that that's exemplified in our countywide elections of 2008. Three supervisors were elected. The incumbent Kendall Smith from the 4th District, she lives in Fort Bragg, was and is outspoken in opposition to Measure A. The supervisor from the 2nd District in Ukiah, Jim Wattenberger, did not run again. The person who was elected, Supervisor John McCowan, was very outspoken in opposition to changing the zoning, in opposition to what has become Measure A. It was not Measure A when he was elected. Kerry Brown is the supervisor from the 1st District. That's the east side of Ukiah, Redwood Valley, and Potter Valley. She was running against Mike Delbar, the incumbent, who had served three terms on the Board of Supervisors. And Kerry Brown was very much opposed to the change of the zoning. She's outspoken in opposition to Measure A, and Mike Delbar favored the change of zoning and appears to be in favor of Measure A. So what's important to that is that we, the voters of our county, elected three supervisors who spoke out in opposition to what has become Measure A.
So are you guessing that DDR chose to circumvent the planning process because they were fearful that those elections indicated that they probably would have serious problems getting through the normal process?
Yes, I think that those elections supported their fear. And so let's go back to 2004, 2005, prior to the 2008 elections, where Smith, McGowan, and Brown were elected supervisors. And that was at the time when DDR submitted an application to Mendocino County saying, we would like to change the zoning. The county wrote back to DDR saying, your application is incomplete. I think that's a critical point of information because of what I was saying earlier about who their attorneys were, specialists in political law, people who make their living in helping corporations in the initiative process.
Barry, given what you're saying, why would you think that DDR would believe that the voters would approve their initiative, given that these supervisors were elected who have been vocal in their opposition?
For the same reason that DDR touts the fact that not quite 11,000 people signed their initiative petition last spring when they were circulating it. And the reason I focus on that, Ron, is because it was pretty clear to many of us that the petition circulator said, let's clean up Masonite. Let's get Costco here. Sign this petition. It will bring you Costco. That's not true. It's not true that Masonite would be cleaned up. That's an example of what we are seeing now in our mailboxes, and I'm afraid, or disappointed, I'm not afraid of it, I'm disappointed in the probable expectation that there will be a lot of color glossy propaganda, if you will, saying this will happen, that will happen. They've told us it's about 62 miles to Santa Rosa. Well, we know that, but that doesn't have anything to do with the real situation.
Tell us what you see to be the real situation.
The real situation comes from what would happen to our county if Measure A passes. And there's a little bit of interesting background here as to what an initiative means when the initiative process is used to change zoning, to change general plan. One, when that happens, it becomes the law of the county that can only be changed by another vote of the people. It cannot be changed by a vote of the supervisors. And number two, equally, in my opinion, disastrous, is the fact that the local planning process and all environmental laws do not need to be followed with regard to what is built within the 78-acre parcel where Masonite is.
Now, if Measure A were to pass, are there any environmental requirements or any environmental study requirements that would be required by the state?
No, nor None. By the county.
So are you saying that if Measure A were to pass, there would be virtually no environmental impact studies on that property?
Well, the propaganda that DDR sends us in the mail and speaks at public forums says that DDR will follow all of the environmental laws. But what it doesn't say is that none are required. So let's talk about what happens if there's a build out there in terms of our county, not just Ukiah. And then I want to talk about why I'm not sure that there will be a DDR build out there, but let's talk about whoever the build may be done by.
Barry, before we get there, which I think is really the crux of this issue, let me just ask you this question. What do you anticipate with this vote?
I believe that the importance of our community will be realized countywide, and the common sense of our voters will show that Measure A will be defeated.
If Measure A is defeated, this discussion we're having is really unnecessary. If, on the other hand, Measure A passes, I would like to ask you, what do you think the implications for this valley and Mendocino County will be?
I believe that there'll be severe economic distress to our county, disrupting needed public services, roads, police protection, fire protection, libraries, for example. The general fund in our county, that's the discretionary money that the Board of Supervisors has for public safety and roads and libraries, to name just a few, will be spent on solving the problems that will arise on North State Street if there is a build-out on the old Masonite property. First of all, the specific plan that is purported to be part of Measure A talks about widening State Street, having seven traffic lights between Ford Street, which is the south side of Raley's, to not quite a half a mile north at Or Springs Road, widening that road to six lanes, if not more.
Currently it is...
By Raley's and Discovery Inn, it's four lanes. It narrows up by Or Springs Road and Mendo Mill. The cost of all of that will be borne by the county taxpayers. So how does that affect people who don't live in the Ukiah Valley? The traffic that will be generated and drawn to that project will be here in the Ukiah Valley. People who come here and get off the freeway at North State Street and come south towards the courthouse on State Street will be severely impacted by the traffic jams. That's most of the people who live in the Ukiah Valley. The county offices, the planning department, the supervisors' chambers, the public works offices are very close to the North State Street area. Those of us who live here can go there and say, you've got to fix this. people who live in Fort Bragg, Mendocino, Wallala, Point Arena, Willits, Laytonville, Covelo, Hopland have an equal need and an equal right to receive these important county public services, live far from the county offices. They have to spend a day to come to Ukiah, lobby the government, and then go home. Again, let's go back to the county budget. The road work, the maintenance costs will be spent here in Ukiah. They won't be spent in the outlying communities of the county, where there's an equal, if not greater, need.
Now, would DDR not be responsible for those cost mitigations?
That's absolutely correct. They would not be
responsible.
They
would not be responsible.
They would not be responsible because the local planning processes that require cost mitigation by the developer, which means the developer pays for the consequential costs of their development, in this case, DDR, or to whomever they may sell the property if Measure A passes, would be excluded from this project. That is a significant detrimental result to local communities when zoning is changed through the initiative process as opposed to being changed through the normal legislative process, which requires public hearings at the Planning Commission level and at the Board of Supervisors level.
Let me take a moment to say you're listening to Radio Curious. Our guest today is attorney Barry Vogel, and we're talking about his opinions on Measure A. What we're hearing are his views and not necessarily the views of the station's management, the station's staff, and the station's board of directors. I'm Ron Arkin. Barry, how do you respond to the argument that DDR will bring jobs and growth to the Ukiah Valley?
There may be jobs in building, but when we look at many of the building projects that go on here, they were done by out-of-county builders. They employed people from afar, they came and did the job, and then they left. The vast majority of the jobs that would be available at a shopping mall would pay minimum wage. DDR's reports that were recently exposed at a debate in Ukiah held on Thursday, October 8th, pointed out that DDR's papers say that minimum wage is adequate for people to live on. I don't think that's true. We know how much the take-home pay is on minimum wage. Minimum wage currently in California is $8 per hour. But that's their position. There's not a lot of available industrial land that's zoned industrial in Mendocino County. And part of that is because that 3% of Mendocino County is flat. The rest of it is hilly, which doesn't work for industrial land. There's a railway line that goes right next to this property, major highways that go right next to this property. If it's changed from industrial, it will never go back to industrial.
Barry, what do you think will happen if Measure A passes? What do you think DDR will do with that land?
At the October 8th debate between DDR and Seoul at the Ukiah Civic Center, Jeff Adams, the project director for DDR, when asked about will the property be sold, he said, well, everything's for sale. I think they'll sell it. And the reason why I think they'll sell it is because its value as mixed use, as opposed to industrial, will be much greater, number one. And number two, the independent economic reports of DDR show that it is a company that is in severe economic straits. Several years ago, the value of its stock was in the 70s. Earlier this year, it was below 2. Currently, it's about 10. And I think it went up to 10 after a significant infusion of money from a large German investor. Now, what happens if it's sold? The buyers are not subject to any planning rules or any environmental rules. They buy that 78 acres, an independent area that is not subject to any of the rules that we must follow. I think it's wrong. when zoning is changed through the initiative process, when the debate is not on what is best for our community, but the debate is framed by color glossy mailed propaganda and other forms of advertising that does not deal with the locally owned businesses, with the roads, the public services, and the detriments to other areas in the county that would be caused as a result of using the limited amount of money in our county general plan on remedial action for the circumstances resulting from a build-out, in this case, at the 78 acres of the old Masonite property.
Barry, given the current economic situation, do you imagine that there is a buyer out there?
Yes.
Do you think DDR could be in trouble with hoping to sell a property that just couldn't be sold?
I think that they would have some property that would be for sale that would allow the buyer to do virtually anything they want because it's called mixed use. Mixed use means they can have any kind of use they want there. It's not limited to industrial. It's not limited to commercial. It's not limited to residential. I think that there could be some arguments that they could do some very unusual things there. What also concerns me, Ron, is the fact that DDR has been saying that they will clean up the Masonite site. But because this is zoning by initiative, all environmental and planning laws are not applicable. There are no standards or regulations or parameters, environmental parameters, that must be met either by DDR or by whoever they may sell the property to regarding what cleanup means. In other words, there would be no set terms of oversight for a so-called cleanup.
So it's an unknown, and that concerns you.
That's right. It's an unknown. It's an uncontrollable unknown.
Barry, the last two Radio Curious shows were devoted to these issues, and you interviewed Frank McMichael from the Local Agency Formation Commission, known as LAFCO, and the show following that was with Robin Collier, who is the executive director of Mendocino County Tomorrow. Barry, I'm interested in your own reaction to both of their views and both of those shows.
Well, Frank McMichael, as director of LAFCO, wrote a letter at the request of the LAFCO Commission, the Local Agency Formation Commission, responding to certain issues about water availability on the Masonite property. That report is available on the internet. If you type in Frank McMichael LAFCO Report May 2009, it's there. Let's jump back to earlier to something I said about the Nielsen-Merksamer Group, the lawyers that represent Mendocino County Tomorrow and DDR. They wrote a letter demanding that the McMichael report be withdrawn and that Mr. McMichael be sanctioned for writing it. That never happened. Instead, Janine Nadell, the Mendocino County Council, who also is the attorney for LAFCO, wrote back a very strong letter supporting the independence of the McMichael report. I believe that the lawyers for Mendocino County Tomorrow and DDR wanted to put as much pressure on as they could to stop the discussion, in my opinion, about the availability of water for the Millview Water District, which is just north of the Masonite property, and for whatever might be built on the Masonite property if Measure A were to pass. I would encourage people to go to the Radio Curious website. That's radiocurious.org/2009. And the McMichael interview is there. And just above it is the interview that I did last week with Robin Collier, who is the executive director of Mendocino County Tomorrow. I was very pleased that Robin came here to our studios at Radio Curious and talked to me. I was surprised that when I asked Robin a number of questions, she didn't know the answer. The most surprising one was with regard to a person named J.R. Bond, who she identified as the campaign manager. I asked Robin, what is coming up in the campaign? She said she didn't know. I asked her if we would be receiving a lot more color glossy mailers. She said she didn't know. I pointed out to Robin in that interview is what anybody can find on the Mendocino County website under the Elections Department, is that more than $500,000 has been spent on this campaign alone, in the past several months by DDR to promote Yes on Measure A. No local contributions, no contributions from anybody but DDR. There were some follow-up questions I wanted to ask Robin Collier after our interview, and I tried to reach her before this broadcast, but I was not able to. So I called Danny Rosales, the president of Mendocino County, tomorrow, and he told me that she took over on August 1st, but he could not explain to my satisfaction why her salary was not listed on the required filing that was made by the lawyers for Mendocino County tomorrow in behalf of that group. On the other hand, SOL, Save Our Local Economy, is the name of the county-wide, loosely knit grassroots organization that's banded together to defeat Measure A, has far less resources and hundreds of local contributors in small amounts of money.
Barry, can I fire back at you a question that you have asked countless interviewees over the years? Can you tell us of a book that you have read recently that you would recommend to our listeners?
Well, Ron, the book that I recommend is called Jacobson's Organ and the Remarkable Nature of Smell by Lyle Watson. It talks about how plants and animals react to odors that they perceive. From a reptilian sense in animals and, of course, reptiles, to us as humans, and how we follow our noses and the odors that we perceive and sometimes go away from them.
Well, Barry, I'd like to say I'm experiencing in this interview an odor of confidence from you. It has been enlightening to hear your insights on this really important measure for the future of Mendocino County.
In this edition of Radio Curious, I've been visiting with my longtime friend, Ron Arkin, and sharing my opinions about Measure A, which, after having practiced law in this county for 35 years, I feel that this is the single most important issue that has ever been on the ballot in our county. The book that my friend Ron Arkin asked me about is Jacobson's Organ and the Remarkable Nature of Smell by Lyle Watson. This interview was recorded in the studios of Radio Curious on October 9th, 2009. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious are available on our website, which is www.radiocurious.org. You can also subscribe to the Radio Curious podcast by clicking on our website. Our programs are also available in CD format. To get a copy, visit our website, radiocurious.org, for further details. And at Radio Curious, we appreciate your thoughts and ideas about our programming and do enjoy hearing from you. Our address is Post Office Box 7, Ukiah, that's U-K-I-A-H, California, 95482. Our email address is curious@radiocurious.org, and the phone number is 707-462-6541. You've been listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Thank you for joining us.